At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
When it comes to teaching kids and teens about money, practice makes perfect. That's where Greenlight comes in. With a debit card and money app of their own, kids learn to earn, save, spend wisely, and invest. Parents send instant money transfers, create custom chores, and automate allowance, while kids track their spending, set savings goals, and practice money skills they can use today and for life. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
Quiet, numbskulls, I'm broadcasting.
It's the JT and Looney Podcast, episode
162.
Powered by our friends at BetOnline, the fastest and easiest way to wager on all your favorite sports. College football.
Touchdown, USC.
Every league. Major League Baseball, the NFL, you know what the leagues are. NBA, NHL, UFC, CIA, BBC, BB King, and Doris Day.
Dig it.
Even golf. BetOnline continues to be the top online resource for all your sports information, from live in-game betting, props, futures. Head to BetOnline as soon as you can. Right after this podcast, head to BetOnline. And just for being friends with JT and Looney, you get a 50% bonus on your first deposit. But you have to use our new promo code, BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, 50. It's B-L-E-A-V, 50.
B-L-E-A-V, 50.
And get your 50% welcome bonus. That's BetOnline, our proud sponsor.
Or maybe they're ashamed, I don't know.
But they are our sponsor. BetOnline, where the game starts. And now the podcast starts, damn it!
There he is!
Hello,
he
guys! Is. How are you?
God, I love your setup. You
oh my
look like
God.
A movie professional.
Thank you. It is so great to see the both of you. Thanks for having me back.
And well, you have been a movie professional for a long time. How long have you been a member of the Critics Association of whatever that's called?
The Critics Choice Association, 12 years. Okay. Close to 12, yeah.
Wow.
I want to begin by thanking you because you've always joined us, and now we're on a platform. We have platforms.
Yes.
It'll be a radio show. Now we have multiple radio shows and the podcast and the platform, and you're back again, and we've been doing this a number of years, and one of my best friends, who was the best man in my wedding, Jimmy B, said, I can't wait for this episode. I need it. He's actually been waiting for it because the Oscars are coming up this weekend, and yeah, we are in dire need of your analysis and predictions. How are you, Jackson?
I am doing great, and I'm so excited to give all of that to you guys and to hear what you liked and loved and hated from the award season and these movies, because I like some of them. I hate some of these nominees.
Well, I was worried about this show because I had gone to the movies so infrequently the past year, as a lot of people have gotten out of the habit of going to the movie theater and seeing films. And then I looked at the nominations, and, you know, there are some people who can always pick, you know, who can go into Trader Joe's or and find the right bottle of wine. They know what they're doing. That's not me. I know the language, but I don't know how to pick out a fine bottle of wine. But I do know how to see a good movie. And these are the only movies that I saw this year. Ooh. Tar, Banshees of Inisherin, The Fabelmans, Triangle of Sadness, Top Gun, Elvis. Look at how many I hit.
Okay, you did well. You did well with capturing some of the most nominated movies, for sure. Yeah.
Incredible.
I watched Banshees this morning.
Oh, great.
I got that in on top of doing a radio show. And again, no surprise that Tom Looney doesn't like the war movie. I'm fascinated by All Quiet on the Western Front. It had to take a year or two to just dress the war scene, just to get the battlefield ready. I want to get into that. But I want to start off first. Let's get in, before we get to the nominees, let's get into your website and a deep dive. How can everybody find exactly what they're going to need before the Oscars come up this weekend? Where can we find you?
Well, thank you. Yes, all the picks will be up, all 23 categories, lights-camera-jackson.com and Twitter at LCJ Reviews. Also got some cool photos and analysis on Instagram at lightscamjackson.
Oh, the photos are usually you with whomever is nominated. That's what you mean by photos, right? Whether you're 11 or whether you are what you are now. Is that what that is? When you're talking about a lot of photos, just a lot of photos with, hey, look at me with this nominee.
You know, it's photos. It's also interview clips with especially the animation makers. I've talked with most of the directors of the nominated animated features.
Oh, that's true.
Q&As with the animated as well. But yes, and
I forgot. Now that I'm done giving you shit, I forgot that you actually do talk to the directors and the producers and everybody. That's right.
And also, I want to start off because I want to make sure we don't run out of time.
Okay.
For those who haven't been to the movies, I'm getting concerned. I'm even getting comfortable streaming. I'm getting very comfortable streaming. When I need to go to the movies, my sons, who are back in town for spring break, they went to see Creed 3. They're going to other movies. They love Ant-Man. They're going crazy on Ant-Man, but they didn't stream it. They're streaming everything else. So tell us why you're encouraged, because you've been back in the movie theaters for a number of years, coming through COVID and coming out of COVID.
Yeah, I've been back into theaters somewhere around 105 times since August of 2020, when I was able to go back to see Tenet the first time, and then a long break until May of 21, basically, through here, about 105 times. And it's been great to be back in the theaters, to support the theatrical experience, to see these movies on a big screen, not just the picture and the sound, and sometimes with the audience experience, just that feel, and to support these theaters and these employees that need it. These theaters need to stick around. They need the support. And I honestly think this is the year when the impact of theaters will overtake some of the impact of streaming. It's leaned towards streaming for the 3 years. Tom Cruise helped things last year with Top Gun. I think this mega lineup this year that we're going to have is going to take over some of the streaming impact.
And we're going to get around to the nominations eventually. We'll bookend here because I always want to get this out of the way. The movies nominated for Best Picture, because there's the real ones, and then there's ones that I call the juice box nominations, the red state nominations, the unwashed nominations, the Best Picture nominations that's just tossed in to make people feel good who don't know what a good movie is and haven't seen any of the real nominations. That's my snobby introduction to the nominations. But with Tar, Everything, Everywhere, All at Once, The Banshees of Inisherin, The Fabelmans, and The Triangle of Success, those are the real nominations, correct?
I mean, I liked All Quiet on the Western Front. Mm-hmm. I think Women Talking is also a good film.
How are you going to get men to go to that movie?
Yeah. How are you going to get men to go to that movie?
I mean, no, just change the title. That's one way.
It's a strong cast. And in some years, some of the performances, including Ben Whishaw as the primary male character in it, I think he should have gotten in supporting actor. It's a very good performance from him. Other years, some of these performances would have gotten in.
Ever since Fargo, anything with Frances McDormand, I'm going to like anyway. So I was just taking my sexist shot there.
Yeah, Avatar. I don't know why Avatar is on this list. Yeah,
because the same reason Top Gun and Elvis are, because I think it's to get the masses to watch the TV show, correct?
Yeah, but it doesn't deserve to be on this list. I mean, if you know, people put the first one on the list 12 years ago, 13 years ago, because it almost won against The Hurt Locker because of the impact and James Cameron and the visuals and all that. Second time around, it's I think even a worse film than the first one was, and James Cameron's not in director. Yeah, that one bugs me.
Okay, we'll bookend and come back to best picture. I just wanted to throw in that people were being fooled and let them know.
And
that.
I'm going to guide us through this with Lights, Camera, Jackson, our good friend Jackson and Tom Looney. I'm going to kind of step in and out here because I didn't see everything, but I saw a lot of these pictures. Mm. And we're going to start when I'm a young boy. I always dreamed when I wasn't going to dream about being an athlete. I dreamed of winning Best Supporting Actor. Wow. Tom, I've talked about it because it's the same award. Award as Best Actor, you get into the same Vanity Fair party, you get right into the governor's ball, and you have an actor. And I think the great actors should have two Best Actors and one Best Supporting Actor, and I bundle them all together. So we're going to begin with my favorite award, the
great
award that I tune into, and the award that I want to win, because I saw Brendan Gleeson this morning and he had such a big bold role. I was surprised it wasn't Best Actor. We'll go
shut up, Ben.
Tyree Henry in Causeway, Judd Hirsch in The Fabelmans.
Terrific.
Barry Keoghan also in The Banshees.
Loved him.
And Jackson, tell me if I got this right with Kei Hui Kwan. Did I get the name right, please?
Yeah, you're close. Kihi Kwan.
Kihi Kwan, okay. I was not close. I remember him in the Indiana Jones movies.
Yeah.
So as we begin, there are some big names here, and I don't like giving career awards to someone who's never won an award, and we're going to give him one when he's in his 80s or 90s. I'm going to just say, hey, you had a great career. Let's start off with this category, and who's your favorite?
My favorite performance is kind of a tie between Brendan Gleeson and Brian Tyree Henry. I'm very glad Brian Tyree Henry is in this category because it's a very good performance in a film that I thought was mediocre overall. But he elevated the material in Causeway. Brendan Gleeson, it's the best role. It's the best kind of written role with the most meat and the most substance.
But it's also, he was a lead actor. There were two lead actors in that film. It shouldn't be a supporting
actor.
Colin
Farrell had more screen time and tension, a little bit, I think. But Judd Hirsch doesn't deserve to be in here for 8 minutes of just
Didn't this used to be the way it was? The best supporting was a smaller role for Judd Hirsch, and now they're squeezing in lead actors.
It's so small. Barry Keoghan's good in Banshees. Kihi Kwan, I'm not a fan of Everything Everywhere All at Once. The film just did not work for me. Okay. But he has swept pretty much everything except the BAFTA this award season. So I think Kihi Kwan will win the Academy Award.
And JT, do you?
He's the heavy favorite. He's been fantastic along the way. Again, I did not see the picture, but I saw a lot of clips from it. I like the way he's going on the circuit. I think this is also an award that people vote on and they pick their favorites. And I think he's done everything right. It's got a little bit of a lifetime achievement award. And God, his story, Jackson, about literally not being able to find any work. There was a point where he was thinking about giving up acting from his early childhood acting jobs with Harrison Ford and Steven Spielberg in the Raiders family of movies. And now he gets this crowning achievement. And I don't think it's the end of his career. He probably got some good work in front of him. I think you'd agree.
Yes, I would agree with that. This is a year where we could see a lot of career achievement awards / comeback.
Oh, and don't you think, as you go to Best Supporting Actress, I'm thinking Jamie Lee Curtis, because daughter of a movie star, another career award. And, the elephant in the room too is that also there's always been a question about gender with Jamie Lee, so that might give her that's a big topic now these days, and so I think all that mixed into the soup just makes her a big favorite for Best Supporting Actress. What do you think?
I think there is a legitimate possibility. I mean, the SAG Award win for her was a shock.
Okay.
It was probably going to go to Angela Bassett. I think we all thought it was going to go to Angela Bassett for Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. I think it will still go to her. The Academy Award will still go to Angela Bassett for a very good performance. And it's sort of lifetime achievement, career achievement-y. If Jamie Lee Curtis wins, it's kind of same thing.
Right.
With the Halloween franchise ending this past year as well, the timing of that. But you could see Carrie Condon from Banshees pull this out and win this. She won the BAFTA. She would still be a surprise win here. I don't see either of the other nominees winning. It's a good performance, I think. Banshees is a movie that I like the acting in it. I have problems with the way the story goes. It did not really work for me.
It worked for me 10 seconds in. 10 seconds in, so I can't wait to talk about it.
Oh. Yeah, it's a little extreme, but I think Angela Bassett's going to win, but do not be surprised if Jamie Lee Curtis or Carrie Condon is up on
that. She was on KNX, the news station here in Los Angeles talking with the guy with the anchors last night, and she was so charming, regular womanish, you know, just like a regular guy, but a woman. And so she's an L.A. girl, you know, the daughter of a movie star. Not that that should give her any awards, but she was really incredibly likable last night when I listened to her.
The winner for best supporting actress
is
Angela Bleepin' Bassett.
Okay.
If you haven't watched the Academy Awards, if you did the grandeur, she's been beautiful, Jackson, on the red carpet throughout the award season. She's been the rock star. Everybody's pulling for her. It's a big picture. Black Panther, she's going to step up there, knock it out of the park, and this is a big role for her. I agree. I think she wins this award, and I love Kerry Condon because she played in between the two stars in that movie, the two male stars, and I thought she was great dealing with two individuals that were going through a topic that most men go through, and she handled it beautifully.
Yeah, yeah. Kerry Condon's going to have a big career. I mean, she already has been working for a long time, but this will elevate it for sure. And I think Angela Bassett, yeah, it's been 29 years since What's Love Got to Do with It? So she's going for the first win. I think it's time for Angela Bassett. And the legacy of Chadwick Boseman involved in this and the Critics' Choice and Golden Globe wins, I think help her in this case.
I've always heard if you win, I don't know if it's a nomination, or if you get a nomination, or if you win the award in any category, it gets you $1 million for your next film. Is there any truth behind that?
Hollywood showbiz rumors. I have not heard confirmed that, but maybe it'll certainly help. But yes. Yeah.
And I'm not a big fan of if you've never won, oh, we're going to introduce you as Academy Award nominee. No. You're an Academy Award winner. Okay. Many people have been nominated, and congratulations to them. We are talking on this show, on this year podcast with Lights, Camera, Jackson Murphy every year. We're talking winners.
If I get nominated for best supporting for anything the rest of my life, whether I win or not, I'm going to be introduced as the Academy Award nominee just to spite you.
All right. I want to go with the original and adapted screenplay, Jackson, if we can, because I love this, because an adapted screenplay coming off a great novel, great book, everybody wants to know how that was adapted to a movie. And then an original screenplay. Tell us the difference between both, in your opinion, talking to the winners of the past, to some of the nominees, what the main difference is in this category.
The main difference is original is you come up with it, or it's taken from a true story, but not from an actual text, an actual article, a book, a magazine piece, an extensive. That's really what adapted screenplay is all about. Adapted screenplay, in the case of Glass Onion being nominated this year, anything that's a sequel, anything that's a prequel, anything that's a threequel has to automatically go into adapted along with being based on a play. So that's kind of the difference, basically.
Okay.
All right, because everybody's telling me that Everything Everywhere is going to kind of have a monster night. And I agree, especially at Best Actress, which we'll get to. So I believe that this is a category right now where Everything Everywhere has got to start picking up momentum here. This is one of the awards that I like here for that picture. Banshees, I thought, was really unique. Did I mention All Quiet on the Western Front, coming from the novel that sold globally worldwide? They made this movie twice. The book was a bestseller here. So when we look at the categories broken up here, walk me through who you think is the favorites and who you think is going to win.
Original screenplay, Everything Everywhere is the favorite, and I think it's going to win. If there's an upset, it's Banshees. I don't see Fableman's Tar or Triangle winning original. It's got to be Everything Everywhere. Adapted is interesting because you've got Top Gun. Top Gun won't win this category. It'll win a couple technical things, probably. Glass Onion will not win. That was a surprise that Rian Johnson gets in second time. He got in original last time with Knives Out, gets in this second time with Glass Onion. Living is a very good movie with Bill Nighy, who gives my favorite lead actor performance of the year.
Wow.
Living is the dark horse here. All Quiet, maybe. I think Sarah Pauley wins adapted screenplay for Women Talking. It feels right. She won Critics' Choice and WGA as well. I think Women Talking wins adapted.
Jamie Lee Curtis last night told me through the radio speakers that Everything Everywhere All at Once was made in 30 days in Simi Valley. And the rumblings of, this was in January 2020, the rumblings of COVID were coming. They had to get it done, get it done, get it done, get it done. Mm-hmm. And they got it done, I think, in 28 days. And it wasn't a big budget film. And they did it, and they just did it quickly. And it was just a great story about how this lower budget film is now getting all this accolades 2 years later, 3 years later now.
Yeah, there you go. And A24 having a very good year with that, with Marcel the Shell in animated, and The Whale with Brendan Fraser. So A24 and After Sun with Paul Mescal. So A24 is having a very good year.
JT, I know you're steering the ship here with where we're going with nominations, but we do have to throw Jackson a bone. He likes cartoons.
No, I know, but I have one more thing that I want to mention in this category.
Sure.
I can't believe you gentlemen have forgotten.
Okay.
This is, if you were ever going to rename the Oscars, you would rename it the Spielbergs. Okay? And I'm upset. I was upset. I told you when this movie came out, I thought they blew it. You know how I go crazy over titles. It could be the difference. They should call this the Spielbergs, because it was about the Spielbergs. It wasn't about the Fablemans. And I knew that anything Steven wanted to touch, Jackson, and put his hands on and open up a portal to his life that we didn't know about was going to be popular amongst the voters here. And I want to talk about that, the Fablemans here, best original screenplay, because it's the life of Steven Spielberg. How do you put this guy in a tux with his life accomplishment movie of his family and his life? Is he a favorite here? Does he have a chance to win in this category?
No, I don't think he and Tony Kushner have a chance to win in original screenplay. I didn't love The Fablemans. I thought it was kind of overly sappy, weak. There are some ridiculous sections of it and some what in the world was he thinking parts of it. I think he was too close to the material, and that really impacted it with the story and the direction. No, because Everything Everywhere and Tar and even Triangle of Sadness and Banshees are all more creative stories, I think, than The Fablemans. I think that's why it's not going to win in that category.
Incredible. It's the 95th Academy Awards, Sunday, March 12th, 2023. It's our annual podcast we do with Jackson Murphy, fame-filled critic. He's been doing this forever, and he is our friend. All right, Looney, you want to tease him with animation?
Yes.
I don't think you should.
No pun intended.
He's an expert in this field.
I know.
Let's get to some animation and some other categories. Jackson, I'll let you lead the way.
Well, same reason I make fun of soccer is because I don't know anything about it, and I don't. Although I did see some of Pinocchio. But I do want to go through the best animated feature, because I know you will be, this is your wheelhouse.
Yeah. It's a good group this year. Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio is the front runner. It's very close to a lock. Very close. I think the upset here is Puss in Boots, because this movie has made $175 million in the theaters. The second highest grossing animated movie of this pandemic, only behind the Minions sequel that came out last summer. The families have loved it. The animation community really loves it. I think if Guillermo del Toro's Pinocchio was not out this year, your winner would be Puss in Boots. Marcel is creative. It's not a fully animated movie, so there's even controversy of why it's in the category. Sea Beast is good. Turning Red is good. They're not going to win. So Pinocchio's the winner there. I've also seen and interviewed all the directors of the animated short film nominees, and it's a fantastic global group. There's one from Australia called An Ostrich Told Me the World is Fake and I Think I Believe It, that is so fun and so unique. A film called My Year of Dicks, which is about relationships, is also very good. Ice Merchants is incredible to look at. The Flying Sailor is a nice story. The winner will be The Boy, the Mole, the Fox, and the Horse, produced by J.J. Abrams. And it's based on a book, and it's this really emotional, sincere, gentle story that you can watch on Apple TV Plus. I think that's the winner.
Is there a star in this category? Is there a young star or an aging star just coming together at the perfect time? As you know this side of the industry so well, that you're just saying, we're looking at a Meryl Streep in her prime, or an animator who's just doing their best work right now.
Oh, in the animation categories, there's a lot of talented creative people. I always tell people the most talented creative people working in this business are in animation, because of the possibilities, because of the ideas. The director of the Ostrich movie, who won the Student Academy Award for it, Lachlan Pendragon, is great. He made this movie in his house early on in the pandemic, did a lot of it himself, and he's already won a Student Academy Award, and he's an Oscar nominee. So that's fantastic. There are some veterans in this category. The women who did The Flying Sailor from Canada have been nominated One has been nominated 3 times before, one twice before in the category. So the other one twice before in the category. So yes, there's veterans, there's newbies in the animated feature category as well. Domi Shi, director of Turning Red from Pixar, and the Marcel team and the CBeast team, some veterans and new blood. Animation's in good hands when it comes to these nominees.
Fabulous. Let's rock back into Best Actress. And all I've been hearing from day one on this, it's Michelle Yeoh and everybody else, but Cate Blanchett is a brilliant actress.
God.
Ana de Armas, I believe I got that right. Yeah. Andrea Riseborough. And Michelle Williams, who has been sneaky great in her entire career. You put her in a picture, it's going to be fabulous here. You know, Michelle and everybody, everything she's done in the past and all of her movies overseas and her being a queen of the industry and all the box office that she's done, this seems to be her moment. What has happened in the other award shows? Who's the front runner for Best Actress?
Front runner was originally Cate Blanchett, and then it shifted to Michelle Yeoh. And so I think Michelle Yeoh wins because of the SAG win, the Spirit Awards win. There are so many people who want to see her win. Cate Blanchett, it's a phenomenal performance. Tar was my number one movie of 2022.
Wow.
Immersive experience. Unbelievable. Loved the character. Loved the unpredictability factor of it, the spontaneity. It was just an incredible experience.
I couldn't agree more. But here's the thing. Didn't she already win for Blue Jasmine playing a crazy person?
And The Aviator for Katharine Hepburn. So she's won twice before. So
what I mean is also playing pretty much the same character. This is a lesbian version of the Blue Jasmine character.
But an even deeper, well-written. I liked Blue Jasmine. I didn't love Blue Jasmine.
Right.
There were other performances that year I would have.
I'm throwing that out there, but she was incredible. And the movie was really good, too.
Yeah, Tar was incredible. I want Cate Blanchett to win. I didn't buy Ana de Armas for a second as Marilyn Monroe. I wanted to. Oh. I could not get there. Michelle Williams, not going to win this time. Andrea Riseborough for Two Leslie. It's the controversial performance of the year in these categories because of the voting strategy. How did she get in at the last second and all that? The performance is all right. It's one of my, I'd say, top 20 favorite lead actress performances of the year, but it doesn't deserve to be in a group of five. Michelle Yeoh, I think, wins.
Well, what caught my attention there, and I'd like you to elaborate on it, I like greatness. Tom Brady won 7 Super Bowls, and you kind of tease Cate Blanchett with the other victories. I like when you get to the category. I've always said I love my all-time favorite actor, Daniel Day-Lewis, De Niro, all the greats. I want to see him get from 2 to 3.
By the way, I'm rolling my eyes at Daniel Day-Lewis and not Robert De Niro.
I want to see actors get to that achievement where they win 4 Academy Awards or 5. Be like the all-time greats. Be a Betty Davis. Have that moment. It sounds like, Jackson, if Cate Blanchett can get this one, it seems like it's a 2-woman race. Where would this put her historically with all the other great lead actresses?
Oh, yeah. It ties her with Frances McDormand for acting wins with 3. Meryl Streep with 3 acting wins. Absolutely. You go from 2 to 3, that is next level for sure. And for her to do it in a span of 18 years is very impressive. It was a 9-year gap between the Aviator win and the Blue Jasmine win. It would be another 9-year gap between the Blue Jasmine win and the Tar win. So to win 3 Oscars in 18 years would be quite something.
I loved all the turns and everything, the twists and turns and Tar, the catch off guard. You're waiting for stuff and waiting for stuff to happen, and it doesn't happen because of the twists and turns. Okay, let's get to best actor.
Ooh. Oh, I can't wait. I can't wait. I wait all year for this podcast for best actor, lead actor here.
Yeah.
All right, let's go with Austin Butler first, Colin Farrell, Brendan Fraser, Paul Mescal, and Bill Nighy, as you said that. Can I get a pronunciation on that again, please?
Yeah, I think it's Bill Nighy. Some people say Bill Nye, but that's like Bill Nye the Science Guy. So I always like to add the E for Bill Nighy.
Okay, I knocked out Colin Farrell this morning. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm still trying to digest the film. Again, I thought the best supporting actor was better than him. That's my problem in this category. Uh-huh. You have a great supporting actor nominee here who I thought was better than the actor. I haven't seen The Whale yet, but I saw him on the circuit talking about it and the obesity and the connections, and his eyes were brilliant. I walked out of Elvis with my wife in the theater and said, I want to go right back and get online again and see Austin Butler again. I thought he knocked it out of the park. So this is a strong category here. So let's begin, Jackson. Who's the front runner? Who's the favorite? And who do you think had the best performance?
Well, all five of these guys are first-time nominees, so that's cool. You know, all of them should be prepared to be up on that stage because this is a very competitive category. Austin Butler won the Golden Globe and the BAFTA. Brendan Fraser won the Critics' Choice Award and the SAG Award, so that's split. Colin Farrell won the other Golden Globe. I think Bill Nighy is incredible in Living. He's my pick for who should win. And Paul Mescal is very good in After Sun. We'll get a lot of younger votes. Votes from younger people. So I'm picking Austin Butler to win because I think it's too irresistible for a lot of Academy voters, especially older ones, to avoid picking the guy who played Elvis. And all these musician wins over the years, from Rami Malek to Jamie Foxx to Reese Witherspoon to Jeff Bridges, even Renee Zellweger for Judy Garland, you could throw in there. Singers, performers, musicians, so many. I think it's the case here, but Brendan Fraser could definitely be up there. If votes split, Colin Farrell probably next in line to be up on stage. But this could really go in any direction, and I love that it can go in any direction.
And I loved Colin Farrell 10 seconds into the movie. I said, oh my God, this is my kind of movie. And so let's get the best picture.
Well, hold on. One other thing on Austin Butler.
Okay.
I think the reason he wins this award is young Elvis to old Elvis, he kept me involved. He was outstanding as older Elvis in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
Just as he was early in the early years before he bought Mama, a house at Graceland.
Right.
And the early, I got to ask you this, Jackson, was that a terrible role or an average role, a colonel for Tom Hanks? Is that an award that made you have more respect for him, or should he have passed that along to someone else?
It was a very distracting
performance.
I had a lot of problems with Elvis. I don't think it's a great movie. Butler's very good in it. There's some strong scenes. Tom Hanks was not. Tom Hanks should be in this best actor category for A Man Called Otto. One of his best in a long time. He was so good in that. And the momentum, it's made almost $65 million domestically. People are keep going and going to see it. It's a fantastic Tom Hanks performance.
Ooh, good to
and
know.
I can't believe he's not in this category.
Wow.
That, I would not go see that movie unless you told me right there, and I will see it now.
Isn't it the greatest thing in the world when someone, when you think that's not a movie I'd like, and that's JT's wife sent me to A Devil Wears Prada. I said, I don't want to go see a movie about fashion. And JT's wife said, go see that movie. I'm like, I can watch it over and over and over and over again.
Yeah, so it is fun. Those, absolutely. Yeah.
All right, here we go. The best picture, Women Talking, Triangles of Sadness, Top Gun, Maverick, Tar, The Fabelmans, Everything Everywhere, All at Once, Elvis, The Banshees, Avatar, The Way of the Water, and All Quiet on the Western Front. I saw four of these pictures. Obviously, I want to spend some time on Top Gun, Maverick. I love war movies. I think the best movies that have ever been made are war movies. I think a lot goes into it. I think there a lot goes into the cinematography, the action, obviously everything, the acting. If there's great acting in a war movie, I thought the acting was brilliant. All Quiet on the Western Front, and I couldn't take my eyes off the screen because I couldn't believe what went in to building these war scenes, from the tunnels and what happened and all the mud and the water and the planes flying right over their head and the violence.
Yeah.
I thought it was a brilliant motion picture. I think it's going to win. I think that there's a lot of good movies here. That's my winner. I thought it was a brilliant masterpiece. Jackson, please.
You think it's going to win, or it would get your vote?
I think it's going to win because it's one of the best movies I've ever seen.
Wow.
And I've seen a lot of movies and some war movies. I put it in the category with Saving Private Ryan, my all-time favorite movie. Everybody says, JT, is it Godfather 1 or 2, or is it Raging Bull? No, it's Platoon, because walking out of Platoon had the biggest impact on my life as a moviegoer. It changed my life walking back to my college campus there. So, and I root for war movies. And Looney,
I know, he loves it.
I root for more war movies. I can never get enough of World War II. Oh, and they gave me World War One. They didn't give me World War II. They gave me World War One. Look at how excited I am.
I don't mind World War One movies because there's not very many of them. They have horses and stuff. I kind of like World War One. Don't give me one more goddamn World War II movie, please.
So many.
Oh, my God. JT and his war movies and you and your cartoons.
Oh, let's get Jackson's favorites.
Okay. I think All Quiet could win. It won the BAFTA, did very well at the BAFTAs. And it's been proven over the last few years, you do not have to have a Best Director nomination to win Best Picture. Mm-hmm. Look at Argo. Look at Green Book. Look at Coda last year. So All Quiet could win. Top Gun is a wild card. It's a legitimate wild card. It's been that way since it opened in May when people said, this thing needs to get nominated for Best Picture. So it's a wild card. I think it's between All Quiet, Banshees, and Everything Everywhere. And I think Everything Everywhere wins. It seems to have the momentum. You do the preferential ballot. You rank the movies 1 to 10. And if enough people, especially enough younger Oscar voters, put it as their number one, I think that's going to make it win. Same thing sort of with Parasite a few years ago. I sort of thought maybe it was going to be the number two and then it would make it the winner. It seemed to be the number one for a lot of people. So if they put it as their number one, Everything Everywhere wins, and the rest of them are much farther back in the pack.
I would probably vote for Banshees. I will tell you, the triangle of sadness with transactional relationships and everything about that movie I thought was terrific. And I kept thinking about it days later. I love any film like that where it gets better in your mind as you go on because you're catching stuff as well. I'm 25% Polish. Sometimes it takes 25% longer for me to catch every message that was sent in a movie. And but the 75% is Irish. So Banshees, I was locked in. I must be loved. So I was locked into that. When someone says, I don't want to be your friend anymore, I was locked in with Colin Farrell's performance of You Must Be My Friend. I was just locked into that film, and I've been to the Aran Islands where it was filmed. And it's 100 years old. It's from 1923, and this is 2023. Right. And so it's a great period piece. Everything about it I just loved.
Yeah, Tar would get my vote. Tar would definitely be my number one for sure. It was my number one for the year, and it deserves to win Best Picture because it is an experience. People could also say the same thing about All Quiet on the Western Front. It's an experience. Top Gun, obviously, is an experience.
Right.
Elvis is only in this category because of Austin Butler. Let's be honest. As a movie, I thought I like Moulin Rouge a lot more than this. As a movie and what Baz Luhrmann was able to do, even the Great Gatsby movie, I liked much more than the Elvis film itself. But they have to fill 10 slots because they now require 10 nominees to be in here, even if only 5 or 6 of them really deserve to be in the category.
Well, thanks for paying tribute to Baz, because I don't think you could have an Academy Award podcast if you don't pray at the altar of Baz. So very nice that you got that in. As we wrap this up, a little behind the scenes, my buddies on my text thread were all in their 50s. Oh, my God, I can't believe I said that.
Wow.
And they were all talking about Top Gun. And I said, stop. It's Top Gun. And no, people love that movie. And Cruise better have his moment. Can you imagine if Colin Farrell or, you know, Austin Butler win an Academy Award before Tom Cruise in the Best Actor performance? And that's probably going to happen. And all the other actors who should have won, because Tom Cruise should have had many Best Actors, especially in some of the great movies.
Cuba Gooding Jr. has a goddamn Oscar, and Tom Cruise doesn't.
Ron Kovic on Born on the 4th of July. Man alone. Right. Those are two right there.
Oh, beautiful movie.
So Born, Magnolia, and Jerry Maguire, I think, are the three. So he's nominated as a producer of Top Gun Maverick. So we could see, you know, Austin Butler or Brendan Fraser up on that stage. And then 10 minutes later, Tom Cruise could be up on that stage as a producer of Top Gun Maverick winning Best Picture, which would be cool. That is his way. But yes, that fifth Best Actor slot that went to Paul Mescal could have gone to Tom Cruise, could have gone to Tom Hanks, could have gone to Hugh Jackman. There were a couple others vying for that spot. So Cruise could have been in there. At least he is a nominee as a producer on Top Gun Maverick.
Give me the winner for Best Director quickly.
Okay.
So we have less than 4 minutes.
The Daniels for Everything Everywhere. Upset would be Spielberg, but I think he's lost momentum. I think the Daniels win Director for Everything Everywhere.
Spielberg losing momentum at the Academy Awards.
Wow. It doesn't. I guess a lot of times, doesn't it also depend on when people voted?
Yeah. Well, it's when people voting and just how long this awards season is.
Yeah.
It's longer and longer. It feels like every year they stretch this out to the middle of March, and we got to get it back into February. early February, you know, just before COVID started. The Academy Awards was February 9. It was the earliest ever. It has been done. It can be done again to get it back to Feb 9 because everybody's talking about 2023 movies right now. Looking right. back on 2022 movies, Everything Everywhere is almost a year old. Some of these movies are old and we're all focusing on Creed and Shazam and Scream and John Wick and all these movies on the way. Looking back, it's tough when you stretch this thing out to the middle of March.
Let's wrap it up with you in the final few moments here. What is your next move in your career, your goals as you sit in the theater? And we've been talking to you since you were a little kid, and now look at all the success you're having. What's next for you?
Thank you very much. Well, definitely some ventures coming up that hopefully I'll be able to share soon. But interviewing incredible filmmakers, reviewing movies still. I published a children's book at the holidays called My Very Rocky Christmas, inspired by my childhood, true events, and that's available on Amazon. I hope anyone listening to this gets it, shares it with their family, shares in the experience. You can read it any time of year and get the themes and the values and the messages of it. It's a sweet story. A lot of people have loved it since the holidays when it came out. So that's been a passion project, and have some others coming up. And I'm on radio every Friday in the upstate New York, Albany area, and having a great time with that.
Well, I'm coming there this summer. My nephew's getting married outside of New Paltz, and we'll connect. I'll be there for 4 or 5 days. We'll get a coffee. We'll meet in between. Tom, why don't you do what you do best, start, middle, and put a bow on this. I'm proud that we did it again. Our listeners, our viewers, we're now up on YouTube with the JT and Looney podcast, and we have something rumbling. So we want everybody to share this podcast. Hey, podcasters and our listeners and viewers, you got to like this, and you got to share it. You got to subscribe. Or all this just disappears and it goes away into space. Tom, how do we get everybody to listen to this one and listen to it again?
Oh, well, by telling them what to see. And that's always a great, you know, we've seen them for you. And a lot of times Hollywood dumps its garbage in January, February, March. The things in the theaters right now, other than these nominees, aren't very good. But if you want to see Tar, Everything Everywhere All at Once, The Banshees, Fabelmans, or Triangle of Success, you'll be guaranteed to see. It's like I said, when you walk in and you don't know what bottle of wine to get, you don't know the difference, like me. You just get the expensive one. These are the expensive bottles of wine. These movies nominated for Best Picture. Go see one of these rather than Creed 3.
It's Lights, Camera, Jackson with a blue check mark. Elon Musk kept his blue check mark, which means he's got to be big.
That's great.
At LCJ Reviews is where to follow him on Twitter. His radio, all the animation scoop reporting that he does. And a proud partner of the JT and Looney Academy Awards podcast.
We love to keep things symmetrical here. Thank you for listening to all 40 minutes and 40 seconds of the JT and Looney podcast with our special guest, Lights, Camera, Jackson. And for listening to all 40 minutes and 40 seconds of the JT and Looney podcast, you win the Michael Ryan Award. Oh, and the JT and Looney podcast is brought to you by Bet Online, where the game starts. I need to say that legally. Well, I don't know if it's legally. It's a contractual thing we have with Bet Online, our partner. We love those guys.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica, empathy is our best policy.
Hey parents, Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.